Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power, power,
power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power, power,
power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Well, good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. Roger Bennett, pianist and songwriter, died back in 2007. But prior to his death, he'd written on his website this little account I'd like to share today. He said, "Our enemy stalks us exactly the way the Bible describes, as a roaring lion. He hides in the bushes, waiting for any signs of weakness, and then he strikes. For me, the enemy didn't strike me physically, he struck at a more critical part. He struck my joy, my confidence, and my hope. Every thought turned toward heaven bounced back to me like it was made of brass. Every time I tried to look on the bright side, I ended up imagining a dark future. Then Satan threw his most effective dart, doubt. He said, 'You call yourself a Christian. What a hypocrite. You're more afraid than ever, more filled with despair. So much for your faith, Mr. Gospel Singer.' He said, 'Sadly, I believed everything he said. I tried everything I knew of to pull out of it. I thought if maybe I dozed off, it would pass. But the clock seemed to move in slow motion. Sleep was nowhere near. I tried to lose myself in the Bible, but the words blurred, and I couldn't make sense of any of them.' Then he had an epiphany. He thought about Paul and Silas in prison. He remembered that they didn't despair. They sang praises, and that because of those praises, they became a weapon. And so he tried it. One after another, old songs came to him, and he sang them in his empty room. He said it wasn't a great performance, but it may have been the most powerful blessing I've ever received." You know, I think that in a very practical way, Roger Bennett experienced what it means to live out your faith in a real way, even when no one else is watching. Yes, my friend, this morning the Christian is going to face some tough times, and may at times even struggle to trust God. But as we reach out in faith and praise God, recognizing who He is, God is faithful to come beside us and wrap us in His love. Today I'd like to talk about four ways that we can live out our faith in Christ. I hope you'll stay with us for today's program.
My God is a rock. He is my strength and my salvation. My God is a rock. He towers over all creation. My God is a rock. He is my shield and sure foundation. My God is a rock, the rock on which I stand. Where can I run? Where can I hide when my soul is terrified? Who is a fortress rising to the sky? Who rescues me and hears my cry? Great Jehovah is his name. He puts my enemies all to shame. He pulls my feet from the sinking sand. He lifts me up and makes me stand. My God is a rock. He is my strength and my salvation. My God is a rock. He towers over all creation. My God is a rock. He is my shield and sure foundation. My God is a rock, the rock on which I stand. Cry to the Lord, call on his name. None has ever called in vain. He is a stronghold guarding from the storm, a refuge safe to keep me warm. Every foe shall taste defeat. They all shall bow at his judgment seat. He'll set your feet in a lofty place. So lift your voice and sing his praise. Hallelujah. My God is a rock. He is my strength and my salvation. My God is a rock. He towers over all creation. My God is a rock. He is my shield and sure foundation. My God is a rock. The rock on which I stand. My God is a rock. He is my shield and sure foundation. My God is a rock, the rock on which I stand.
This morning we have the privilege of being able to talk to God in person, to bring our requests and make them known to him, and also to bring him praise. So let's do that right now. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is trustworthy. Thank you this morning that you do hear our prayers, that you understand our weaknesses, you understand our concerns, you understand, Lord, even the times when we struggle to have sufficient faith. I pray that you would give us strength and help. You see the ones that are listening to this morning, Lord, that are going through physical difficulties and they need a touch from you. I pray you would do that even now. Lord, you see those that are needing comfort this morning, needing strength. And I pray that you would comfort and empower those that need it this morning. Lord, for this program, may your will be accomplished. May each one that's listening this morning be encouraged to reach out in faith to their Lord. Perhaps those that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, would you challenge them? Would you speak to them? And may they hear your voice and your love calling out to them this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope that you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Though I heard the gospel story, Jesus.
Our message for today comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Now, for just a bit of context, the book of Ephesians was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, an epicenter of Greek culture and even worship of false gods. It was a very influential city in its day. He begins with an overview of how the gospel relates to mankind in the first couple chapters in this book. Then he moves on to how we're to live in this world because of the grace of God that's at work in us. Paul reminds the reader of the work of God's grace in their lives, making them children of God. Paul also emphasizes the unity we're to have as believers in Christ and the responsibilities that we have to walk in obedience to God, allowing God to transform us as he sees fit. When we come here to chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul introduces the chapter with the thought, "Be therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Two key concepts stand out to me of what a Christian is to be, and it sets up our message for today. First, the concept that the Christian must be a follower of God. They must be led and guided by God. In God, they should find their direction and their purpose in living in a right relationship with him. They're not in charge, they're not controlling him, but they're following God, listening to his voice, heeding him. Also, the Christian should be marked by the love of Christ. This is a real sacrificial love that seeks the best interest of the one who is loved. It's willing to sacrifice and even suffer for the benefit of others, because this love comes from God. It's not a self-seeking love, but it's a selfless love. And it's a great reminder that our hearts and our actions should be governed and empowered by God. The heart of the Christian loves God more than any other, and love for his fellow man is empowered by the love of God. The actions of the Christian are under the control of the Holy Spirit as the Christian follows the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We see here that when Paul asked the Ephesian Christians to not be unwise, but to understand the will of God, he's assuming that they are living with this mindset and that they have already been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul illustrates for us here the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in the heart of the believer with four marks or four signs that the Spirit is at work. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." First, I would like to point out here that the believers would sing together. There'd be something beautiful that comes from their unity and fellowship as they praise the Lord together. Have you ever noticed that how a family works together speaks volumes about the health of their relationship and the strength of their unity? I think music is one of those things that brings to the surface disunity and tension. Oh, sure, you can force a group to sing together, but for really beautiful music to come from them, they must work together and complement one another, using their gifts and talents to accomplish what they cannot do by themselves. As Christians, we should also heed this call. Within the church, there are many different abilities, many different talents, and many different ideas even. But as we band together as the body of Christ, we have the opportunity to further the kingdom of God. Our natural self-centeredness and desire for self-promotion will rebel against this. But the grace of God is able to fill us with his love so that our reason for living and our reason for sharing comes from a love for others over a love for ourselves. In Christ, we are one, united by the Spirit of God, a family bound together with the love of God. Also, I'd like us to notice that the believers would sing when they were alone. The peace and joy that they'd found in Christ is not just the result of a pep rally, but it came from a heart that was filled and overflowing. My friend this morning, what are your thoughts when you're all alone? Remember, God knows each one. He knows exactly where you're at. And in fact, He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, sometimes we can deceive ourselves and make excuses for our attitudes and actions that are not pleasing to God. We come up with reasons. Oh, so-and-so provoked me. This wasn't right. This wasn't fair. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to come and to speak to us, always seeking to help us grow to be more like Christ. God delights in meeting with us in a real and a personal way. He doesn't force Himself upon us, but He responds as our heart seeks for Him and asks for Him in His presence. The gospel message shows us that God wants to be united with us in a real and meaningful way that makes us the people that He created us to be. In a book written by Nick Ripkin, entitled The Insanity of God, we find this story. He says that climbing four flights of creaking stairs into a tiny apartment, we met a white-haired, stooped-over shell of a man. It was clear that earlier in his life he'd cast a longer shadow, but he invited us into his apartment. As we looked around, the age furnishings made the room feel like a museum. Tavian, the old man who lived there, took us back in time as he recounted his personal history. He said that during the days of the Soviet occupation, in the post-World War II decade before his country established its own communist government, he'd been part of a charismatic underground movement that rose from within the country's traditional Orthodox Church. They called themselves the Army of God. Reading their Bibles, they discovered what Jesus had said about sending the Holy Spirit to enable His followers to carry out His will on earth. They came to understand that the same Holy Spirit would empower them to do the work of Christ's body with or without the blessing of the Orthodox Church or the permission of the government. When they began to put these beliefs into practice, they, of course, attracted the attention of others. The established National Church opposed their efforts, and Soviet occupiers declared that they were dangerous. Their new communist government accused them of being traitors, and many other believers were arrested and imprisoned. The established church was party to this incarceration. Tavian recalled many incidents of physical and emotional torture. Soviet indoctrination experts came from the USSR to train the satellite nation's police and prison officials. The different forms of torture were simple but effective. For example, large amounts of salt were added to the prisoners' food, while at the same time, their water allowances were greatly reduced. At other times, prisoners were hung by their wrists, their feet unable to touch the floor. Sleep deprivation was also common. For days on end, prisoners would be kept awake. They would be beaten every time they started to fall asleep or would topple out of their chair. As was the case in other communist countries, the authorities tried to destroy the soul, or at least the self-identity of those they saw as a threat. It took great energy for a prisoner to retain the smallest remnant of his or her original personality. Many lost that battle. Some prisoners were isolated in cells for years. And at other times, jailers would pack 50 people into a cell designed to hold four. Tavian spoke about the abuse in a straightforward, matter-of-fact way as he shared his story with us. But the pain in his voice became clear as he told how leaders of his traditional church had betrayed and informed on the underground renewal movement. I heard even deeper anguish as he described the helpless grief when he learned that his own wife had died. With a very different voice, however, he spoke of something that had helped him to stay strong. He said, "I wrote many songs. God gave me words and melodies to strengthen and soothe my soul." "How many songs did you write?" I asked. He smiled and replied, "Oh, around 600. That confirmed what I'd already been told by the believers who insisted that I meet this man. They'd already told me that Tavian's name was known by believers all over their country. Before communism, the Orthodox Church had used the ancient music of their tradition in worship. Protestant believers normally transliterated Western hymns and songs of faith to sing in their worship. But, since Tavian had been released from prison, believers were now singing much of this old man's worship music in their services every Sunday morning. They were banding together and singing praise, an authentic, real praise of someone who had gone through some very horrible things. They recognized the worship and the praise that had been born out of extreme suffering. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? As believers, we can band together and sing praise unto our God, joining in unity to express praise and worship to Him. Also, in times when we are alone, there's a real joy and a real peace that comes from worshiping Him, singing with joy in our hearts before Him. For a third point, I'd like to point out that the believers would be thankful. They recognized the work of God in their lives, filling, leading, and empowering them in ways that were beyond their human abilities. We recognize that this is all because of God working through us. It's not something we did on our own or are doing on our own. God receives the glory because He's responsible for doing the work. Real thankfulness is not relegated to the month of November or as the proper response when someone does something for us. But it goes right to our understanding and our recognition of what we've been given. After one of the terrible battles of the Civil War, a dying Confederate soldier asked to see the chaplain. When the chaplain arrived, he supposed the young man would wish him to ask God for his recovery. But it was a very different scene. First, the soldier asked him to cut off a lock of his hair for his mother. And then he asked him to kneel down and thank God. Thank God for what? Asked the surprised chaplain. Thank God for giving me such a mother. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God He's giving me grace to die with. And thank God for the home that He's promised for me over there. And so the chaplain knelt down by the dying man. And in his prayer, he had not a single petition to offer, nothing to ask of God, but he prayed a simple prayer of praise and gratitude for all that God had done. Even when we didn't deserve it, God loved us, and He wanted us as well. He went above and beyond our idea of love, and that He suffered and died, even for those who hated Him. Also, God does not ask us to do something He is not willing to do, but Christ serves as our great example of love and commitment. And for that, we truly can give Him thanks, for He's worthy of our praise. And for our last point, I'd like to point out that the believers would elevate others above themselves. This is done with a proper respect for God, an authentic love for one another. Think about it. What better expression of genuine love than humility that's willing to come under the authority of another Christian? This is not a self-deprecating ploy to win friends and to gain influence, but real, sacrificial love, modeled to us by Christ, that looks to the needs of others. I'm thankful this morning that we can be united, united with in song, united in praise, united in worship for our Lord. Also, in the times when we're alone, all by ourselves, with no one else to boost us or help us along, we can look to Him, find Him faithful, find Him understanding, find Him caring for our needs. What a wonderful thing. We truly do have so much to give Him thanks for. Remember, our scripture text for today called us to be wise, to understand the will of God, to listen to Him and follow close behind Him. Not be drunk with wine or intoxicated with other things in this life, things that would cause us to lose our sense and to go in excess, but to be filled by His Spirit. This is key. This is key. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Know Him personally, leading us and guiding us, so that when we speak and when we sing, whatever is being shared from our heart speaks to the filling of the Holy Spirit. For this, all these things, for all the things that God has done for us, we can give praise, for He truly is worthy of all the praise this morning, because Jesus is faithful, God is good, and He is able to meet our needs and to accomplish in us and through us exactly what He wills. We can truly be thankful, for we serve a God who is so worthy of our praise this morning. Our time for today's program is coming to a close, but my friend, if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you. Please stop by today at our regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. We would love to talk to you and help you in any way that we can. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed day.